Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, back from Vancouver and in studio. What's up, Dreg?
I'm good. Everything's good. No complaints.
No complaints. Did you enjoy the draft? I mean, we didn't, from our standpoint, it was active, but it didn't seem as active as we were hoping.
Yeah, but that seems like an annual thing, doesn't it? And then maybe what we need to understand is it's more about draft weekend because, you know, understandably, the teams are fixated on what the task is at hand, and that's drafting the best available player. But that doesn't diminish the fact that there was a great deal of communication, dialogue, even trade negotiation leading up to Friday. I mean, the environment was there. You know, I recall doing the opening and actually doing a SportsCenter hit, and we talked about how likely it was that PK Subban was going to be traded. You know, talked about the New Jersey Devils being far more active outside of the obvious of drafting first overall and some of the other scenarios in play. Now, it didn't happen Friday, so from a TV perspective, that's a little disappointing, but it happened Saturday, so that's what the weekend's all about.
So, Toronto, were they in on PK? Like, what was going to happen there? Because, like, they don't have any room for anything, so how is that going
to
work?
Yeah, it would have been delicate, to be sure. I think what we're learning about Kyle Dubas is he's in on just about everything, and that's not a criticism. That's an acknowledgement of the changing of the job. You have to be. You know, some of the most active general managers are guys like, you know, Brad Treliving, Marc Bergevin, the Montreal Canadiens, Kyle Dubas now emerging as that. If you don't throw your hat in the ring, how do you know what's going to happen?
And, well, maybe Dreg's, well, in on everything or very aware of everything is...
Yeah, they have
to be because you're all, Craig Button has talked about it all the time. Yeah. You have to be calling everybody every day and seeing where everyone's at.
Yeah, and just because you talk about scenarios, right? You know, I think of Winnipeg, you know, reaching out to the Carolina Hurricanes and talking about the potential of Nick Ehlers for Brett Pesce. Well, they don't really want to trade Nick Ehlers, but for a deal like that that makes some sense, you'd consider it. That's why you lob it out there. It's no different than, you know, Kasperi Kapanen and Connor Brown and Nick Zaitsev to the Edmonton Oilers for a package that would bring Darnell Nurse back. You know, it's not going to happen, but in among the conversations that you're having general manager to general manager, those sorts of scenarios do present. So to go back to PK Subban, it wasn't a fit for Toronto, but was there interest from Toronto's standpoint? Yes, but there's no way that the Toronto Maple Leafs could take on PK Subban without the Nashville Predators eating a good chunk, and like $3 million plus.
And it sounds like that's what a lot of the managers were trying to get David Poile to do. Say, I like PK at 6.5. Well, so would the rest of the league. Now, what are you willing to pay? But Poile gets PK completely off his books from a financial standpoint. And Ray Shero puts his hands up and says, I'll take $9
million. Right.
It's a lot of money to pay him, but it's also...
But they have it.
But it's also a defenseman who is a difference maker when he's on his game and healthy.
Well, and he's going to be motivated now, right? I mean, this is the second time in less than a year that he's been traded. And at some point, you start to take that personally, even though everything about the business is driven by the finances. You know, Nashville's desperate. David Poile is desperate to win a Stanley Cup. He wants to end his career hoisting that trophy. And he's willing to do anything to try and achieve that. I believe that he's targeted Matt Duchene. That's not news breaking, but Matt Duchene's going to be, the low end is 9.5. I mean, if Artemi Panarin is getting 12.5.
Is that what he's supposed to be?
Well, potentially he could. I mean, those are the numbers that are, you know, out there right now. Whether or not they're real, we're going to find out in the days ahead leading up to July 1st. But inch by inch, that dollar sign is creeping up. Nashville can't even get in that game remotely without moving a $9 million contract. And the fact that they found a team, and in this case the New Jersey Devils, that's fine work.
Well, they'll probably move out Kyle Turris.
I would think.
Even sniff around that.
Yeah,
Good luck doing that, by the way.
That's on Poile, right? He just acquired him a year and a half ago.
Yeah, he had a miserable year. He was
awful. Gave him a big deal.
He gave him a big deal.
I mean, it's on the player, too. The player hasn't performed, clearly. It's on Kyle Turris, but it's not like Poile was... Poile's been there for 20 years.
Yeah. But
every single deal is his deal.
Remember the people in Ottawa? Like how Kyle Turris wouldn't sign in Ottawa, that extension, gets traded to Nashville, signs an extension for less than what we thought.
Ottawa was willing to pay.
Like he obviously wanted out of there. Like Turris is a guy that is a good player. But I think he's a second line centerman at best, and he had a miserable year.
Yeah, it is the trickiest part of being a general manager is being able to manipulate and find a way to partner up with a team that's willing to take on a bad contract. I gave Kyle Dubas credit this morning, and he deserves full credit for moving out Patrick Marleau. And I know that there's some backlash from some who believe that, you know, he overpaid to do it by giving up that first-round pick. That first-round pick isn't helping the Toronto Maple Leafs this year or any of the next 3 years. 4 years, maybe. Well, if the Toronto Maple Leafs don't win a Stanley Cup in that window, chances are Kyle Dubas is doing something else somewhere else. You know, that's just the reality of the situation. And he can't look after his own business, be it Marner or others, without moving out that deal. And it's not a slight on Patrick Marleau. They had to give him that third year to get him to come to Toronto. San Jose wouldn't give him the third year. That's why he left. Greg's he was looking, great
looking
for
back
the
at it, they probably knew they were going to be in this situation once they...
Yes.
The only reason he was leaving San Jose is because he wanted that third year.
Yeah.
Just because, just like every other older guy.
But what's weird, though, if he signs back there, like, that's a third year, technically.
But he's going to sign back for $1 million.
You're right. He'll sign back on an entry level deal, technically, you know, $1 million, $2 million, or whatever.
And doesn't it? I mean, it confirms that he wanted out, doesn't it? Because if he wanted to stay, he could have said, "I'm not." He could have said, "I'm not going anywhere."
I think he would have stayed if the opportunity was there, right?
You want to stay when you're not welcome?
Yeah.
No, I hear
it's
you.
A handshake deal, wink, after 2 years.
He's a veteran. He got his deal. Yeah. Like Phil Kessel, he's like, I'm not going anywhere.
And I think he's okay with where he's at, obviously, at this point in his career. San Jose is his home. That's his family's home. That's where they want to continue to raise their children. If he's playing hockey next year, I believe it's going to be in San Jose or somewhere on that West Coast. Maybe he's not playing hockey next year. I don't know. I mean, that's not breaking news. It's just the reality of looking at the wonderful career that he's had. But he's only making that decision if he's comfortable with the hard facts. Because you look at San Jose, and there's some heavy lifting that Doug Wilson still has to get done, even to squeeze in, you know, a low-value deal like Marleau might be looking
for. Well, the Maple Leafs are still in the same spot. You know, even once you unload Marleau, they immediately gave it to Kapanen and Janssen. Two deals that I think are very good deals, you know, smart deals for the players who really don't have a ton of sample size, and smart deal for the team as well. But they still got to get Marner done. No one knows where that's going or how much it's going to cost them in the end. Zaitsev is still on the team, right? Yeah. Connor Brown's a guy we've been kind of circling based on his number and maybe where he is with the depth chart.
Defensive core.
Haynes, he's backup goalie.
Gardner's unrestricted.
Yeah.
You know,
you got a lot
of
work to do, but they're still up against it. Even without Marleau, they're
lots
still
of
up
work.
Against it.
Yeah, there's tons of work, and players are going to have to get moved. I agree with Kapanen and Janssen, but are we convinced that those guys are off limits now? Maybe they become more valuable as signed commodities. I mean,
on the short term, I can't see them working out deals and then flipping them right now.
I wouldn't think so. From a team perspective, it doesn't make a ton of sense to do that. But when you look down the list of Toronto Maple Leafs that are going to fetch a return, like, what are you giving to the team that is taking Nikita Zaitsev? You're giving them something.
Does it have to be a sweetener? You think it definitely
I think
to
it
be?
Does. I think it does. Otherwise, he'd have been traded by now. Right. You know, teams are worried about the term of Nikita Zaitsev.
Yeah.
If he's the defenseman that he was 2 years ago, I don't think anybody's worried about it. If he has back-to-back decent years, you can't take that term and have Nikita Zaitsev have another year like he had last year. So you're going to have to sweeten it to some degree.
Well that's might the have risk with any kind of guy. You can't say to somebody, we don't want to trade for you if you're going to have another year like you just had. They're hoping for the response of the rebound year.
They're probably taking a calculated risk.
I'm sure the New Jersey Devils are thinking, PK, you had 38 points this year. You had 61 the year before. You had 65. You had 45, 55. We don't want you to have 38 again.
But there is more sample size with PK where a guy like Zaitsev had a good year and then I think he had 12 even strength points last year, like Zaitsev.
Yeah.
And it's not like he was playing 6 minutes a night.
No,
or 22 minutes a night. Like, I think Zaitsev can play. I think he's a solid player, but he has to play with a skilled, he has to play with a guy like Gardner, who can move the puck or whatever, like go around the league, somebody who can move the puck. That being said, there has to be a sweetener because it's a 5-year deal. And if he shows up looking like the player that played last year.
Yeah.
You got 4 more years of that,
Or you're Jimmy Benning in Vancouver, and you just don't you can't make sense of signing Tyler Myers to a 7-year extension at upwards of $8 million. And I read that somewhere. I was driving. I almost drove off the road. I shouldn't be looking on my phone, obviously, when I'm driving, but I did. And I saw somebody tweet that he's going to get upwards of $8 million. Well, that's changed in a week. Because a week ago, I think his camp were hoping that he'd be high sixes, maybe seven, and then Jake Gardner would come in at 7.25, 7.3, somewhere around there. Well, if the market has changed that dramatically because Erik Karlsson signed his deal with the San Jose Sharks and all of a sudden now there's pressure points, you know, maybe betting at some point, I'm not paying Tyler Myers $8 million a year or $7.5 million. I'll take my chances on Nikita Zaitsev, you know, being better, and maybe I'll add another piece, you know, to my defensive core, and let's just roll the dice here and see how it goes.
It's a position of need. Yeah. Like, listen, no one's going to claim Zaitsev is going to be up for the Norris anytime soon. He's not. But I think on probably 20 teams in the league, he's your fourth or fifth defenseman.
Yeah.
Right? Like, which is not great. And obviously 5 years is not ideal. But when you consider some of the other moves, some of the other desperation signings, I have a feeling someone at some point when the dust settles on July 10th is going to say, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I need it. We don't have kids that can come up, and we didn't sign anybody.
I still think it comes with a sweetener.
Like, really?
I don't think it's I don't think they get value back for him.
I agree.
I'm not saying value. There's difference though between you can have like
for a seventh round.
For give us a third rounder. That's not a sweetener. And hey, we got to throw in.
Yeah, I don't think it's a first rounder going out the other way, but I think there's a sweetener involved.
Yeah. Okay.
But it may be a sweetener to the point where Kyle still needs more money. Maybe it's Zaitsev and Connor Brown for player X.
Yeah.
And we love Connor on the show. We've said it a million times in that. But if he's
just a victim of circumstance.
Exactly. Right. Because maybe it's Zaitsev's 4.25 and Brown's 2.25 or 2.5 that they need to continue to grab. Yeah. Because they do have to sign. If they're going to sign Hainsey, maybe Hainsey's deal looks something like Braden Coburn's, you know, a 1.7, 2 million. But they need another defenseman. Like, they need actual players because Morgan Riley's a superstar, in my opinion. I love the guy. But after that, there's some drop-off.
Are you guys doing a countdown show?
What, on July 1st?
No. 26, 12:01 a.m.
Oh, for the RFA. Yes. Well, we need you in studio.
We do. But you know what we forgot to do was the salad rebuild.
That is
last
coming up,
week.
I think,
we're
going to
do
it.
Week.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah,
don't worry about that.
Because I think some people were sending us pictures of our buddy Kaber from the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Was going thin up top.
When you talk about Dregs,
he looks pretty good though.
Yeah, he does look.
He looks good. He slimmed down.
The 12:01 on the Wednesday. Like, is it just phone calls? People are going to be checking in on Marner. I can't see him flying off and visiting different markets, different cities. Me personally, I think everybody knows different markets in every city. Yeah. Is it just interest from other teams? Like, I'm sure somebody's going to call and say, what might be the interest? What might be the number?
I wouldn't be surprised by any of it. And what's interesting to me, and you're not the first guy to ask that question of me, is the optics of it seem to matter. Glenn Schiller and I were just having this conversation. And to him, the optics matter. You know, there's a difference between having a conference call. Nobody really knows your business. You're just on with Team X general manager, Team X head coach, and whoever else needs to be on that call versus getting on that plane with your dad, your girlfriend, your agent, and going to wherever the teams are that are most interested, because we are such a transparent society now. Like, he can't, unless he's flying out of Buttonville or there's some private sort of arrangement. He couldn't walk into Pearson without people being on top of him. We would know that in a second. But to answer your question, is it possible he gets on an airplane? Yeah, it is. I'm told that there are at least three teams and possibly four that want to meet and have a discussion with
him. But I think if he's getting on an airplane, I think that Matthew Tkachuk's got to be getting on an airplane too. I think Rantanen and Braden Point.
Maybe.
They might, like, just all around, we should have people at airports because...
I don't think Braden Point's getting on a plane.
I think Braden wants Point, to stay in Tampa.
Absolutely. Why would you not want to stay on that team?
But why would you not want to stay on
that team? I'm saying Mitch Marner's not getting on a plane.
I agree.
I think that would be the personification of a clickbait move. That's what it would be. Mitch Marner, because I think he'd post it on his own Instagram, or somehow it would get out, because And it's
what do you think if he clicked or whatever?
Well, you would find out if he's flying to Denver or Long Island or something. You're going to find out.
Would you be annoyed by it?
No, it's his right. He can do whatever he wants. But I don't think it's going to make a difference on what he's actually trying to do. I think it would be about sending a message to the Maple Leafs. I'm in this for real, but I'm not convinced that he is in for real. I think he wants to be here, and I think it's going to get done. But
I don't know, Brian. I'm not with you. Like I'm not convinced it's not going to get done. But if you're not in it for real, you're not waiting until the 24th of June to make that decision that you've been grinding it out, taking beatings on social media from a fan base that did nothing but celebrate when Austin Matthews signed a five-year extension. Upset
Greg,
the apple cart.
What beatings is he taking in the media? Or
people are all over him.
Yeah, he's
look
taking,
at it. Read my replies.
Yeah.
If you're bored for 15 minutes, have a look.
Yeah.
He's taking beatings, and that's fine.
He is.
That comes with the territory. I mean, you know, there are some in the fan base who think that he should just happily sign and be a Toronto Maple Leaf forever, but that's just not the reality of the business side of the game anymore. Whether we like it or not, That's not the reality.
I don't disagree with you. I think he gets hurt even more because he's a Toronto kid and people think he should know better.
Yeah.
People like, you should know better. Don't do this to your fans. You were a fan. You should know better. But I think the whole meeting scenario is a two-way street as well, because you've had a league here that's been very reluctant to sign offer sheets.
Right.
So if a team is saying, come meet us, what they're accepting is, we're sending a vibe out that we're in on this.
Yeah.
And I'm not convinced all these guys want that.
Well, but you've got an $81.5 million salary cap next year, which is, you know, a million and a half shy of what most were hoping it was going to be. This is a unique crop for me, this RFA pool. And if we don't see an offer sheet this year, we're never going to see it. I don't think we'll ever see it because you just don't have. Why wouldn't you take advantage of the Toronto Maple Leafs? Why wouldn't you? And then what? You know, likewise, Matthew Tkachuk, who I believe, with all due respect to Braden Point, Mika Rantanen, and Sebastian Aho, is another one that is a prime offer sheet target. If you're not going to take advantage of the system, then you'd better spend $5 million a year on your scouting staff and make sure that every corner of the world has been covered off. Because that's the only way to get a superstar player. If you don't have the stones to dive into that pool and offer sheet somebody, then you're not doing what the system allows you to do to make your team better.
I promote chaos, movement. I love
so
it.
So do I.
I love it, but we haven't seen one since 2012.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, yes, this crop is much better, but there have been some great
RFAs. So if Matthews signs a seven-year extension, 6 or 7 years, I don't think we're having the same conversation today.
So the term is the holdup more than anything else.
The term is a big issue. It's a big issue. That upset the whole process. And I don't blame Matthews or the people who represent him. They're fine people. They got an absolute rock-solid deal because he's going to hit that mega grand slam again and maybe again after that.
Right.
But what it did was send a message to Marner, send a message to Tkachuk, send a message to Point, to Rantanen, to Connor, to Lyonnais.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to sign these big, long deals, and you don't have to have a 2 or a 3 year bridge rammed down your throat either.
Right.
There's a thing called a hybrid bridge now, and it's a 5 year deal.
The hybrid bridge.
But it's true. Well, listen, but this wasn't the first time it happened either. Crosby did it. Stamkos did it. Tavares did it. Getzlaff did it. Taves and Kane did it.
Not at 11-5, though.
No, you're right.
Kane and Taves are probably the closest comp. And we were just talking about this in that's hockey office. They're probably the closest comp to what Matthews did.
Right.
Oh, in Matthews, terms of the percentage of the cap.
That was a Grand Slam player-friendly deal.
Ooh,
like that one, like the Leafs get hammered for the Nylander deal. But the Matthews deal, they just said, here's a check, here's a piece of paper, we're going to sign.
I would have loved to have been a spy and seeing the Dubas text messages come in from some of his GM colleagues.
Right.
There would have been some spicy ones coming through.
I heard a few comments, That's the one thing, because we're in Toronto, because it's the Mecca here, but haven't heard anything online, eh?
No.
Kyle Connors is, in my mind, a star, too.
30
he's
goal
a
guy,
stud,
2 years in a row.
Star. Tkachuk, yes. You hear Rantanen, obviously. But, you know, Winnipeg's a Canadian market, very loud, and Chevy's got his work cut out for him.
There's nothing going on there. It's weird.
It is eerily quiet in a market like that,
right,
with high expectations, a really good team on paper, and they've got a lot of stuff to sort out. Here it's very loud, you know, the Marner camp, like, regardless of, I say the Marner camp, it's his representation, it's his father, him, and all that.
And it is the market.
Yeah, it's the market, and they're not shy to, whether it's proper information or not, it seems to be very front and center. We're not hearing anything.
No, but they're waiting, because Marner is the linchpin. Right. So if Marner gets whatever he's going to get, you know, let's just use a $10.5 or $11 million figure. There's dialogue going back and forth on a daily basis between Dubas and Ferris. There's parameters being discussed, all that. There's no firm offers per se, but there's generalizations. So let's say Marner gets 11. I don't know what he's going to get. If you're Kyle Connor, are you not saying, okay, well, I would have been happy with 8, 8.5. But now that he's getting 11, well, I'm not so happy with 8.5 anymore. I really like to get 9, 9.5. Or, you know, okay, like,
let me
that's
ask
how
you
the process unfolds.
We did this exercise the other day, and I thought it was really fun. If you had to rank all the RFAs right now, I wouldn't have Marner as my one. I like, who do you like? Is there...
Mine's Matthew Tkachuk, because I'm
there's
just...
There's Tkachuk, there's Rantanen.
Yeah.
I would...
Rantanen, Point.
Rantanen, Point, and Marner are all...
Right.
Right there.
Not Tkachuk?
For me. Well, I love Tkachuk, but...
He's up there for me.
I don't know if he scores at the same level. I mean, he brings different
he's
elements.
He's 33, man.
Line A.
I know that.
Kyle
but Line's the forgotten guy.
That's what I'm saying.
This time last year, Line A was clearly the guy that was
for
getting...
For fun, one. Scores 30 goals. For fun.
Didn't he go 45, 40, 30?
Yeah. Now he had it down year.
He did have
a down year.
Yeah, there's some recency bias in your opinion of that guy, but like
you're right.
But you guys have just 40, established
40, 30, and we don't even have a.
You've just established the table of restricted free agent talent this year. Yet, no one's buying into the idea there should be an offer sheet. Why wouldn't there be an offer sheet on one of these guys that we just discussed?
I just don't know if it's Marner. I think it's somebody else.
Well,
that
it
we're
could
not
be. It could be any of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Like I've said this before. If you're the Florida Panthers, your cross-state rival is the Tampa Bay Lightning. They've been beating your heads in for 10 years. Yeah. Why wouldn't you throw $12 million at Braden Point and say, you try to pay him that?
Yeah,
because you're up against it too.
Now here's something I learned this today, and I learn something new every day. We get stuck on the compensation package, right? It's 4 first-round draft picks
at a certain number.
Yeah, it'd go over 10-8 or whatever it would be, and it would be over that for Marner, probably anyone who's going to offer sheet any of the guys we've talked about. Otherwise, why waste the time? What I didn't know was, even though it has to be 4 picks. And they have to be your own picks. It's 4 out of 5 years. So you've got
pick.
Yeah. So let's say you don't have a first round pick in 2020, but you do in the 4 consecutive years after that. You could still offer sheet one of those guys this year.
I see.
Like now.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have.
And another applies going down to the same thing. So you need to have the consecutive picks, but you know, if it's compensation on 3 draft picks, you know, it's 3 and 4 years. Or 4 and 5 years. So that's a bit more flexibility, to be fair.
I think what everyone's trying to find is that perfect storm of a team that has the money, has the picks, but is also believes they're good enough or close to being good enough where they're comfortable handing over those picks.
Right.
And I don't know what that team... I mean, Colorado's a team that I keep coming back to.
I keep hearing the Islanders are real eager on Artemi Panarin. Like when I talk about $12 million, that's a team that I'm looking at. If maybe it's an either or, right? Maybe Lou is the guy.
But do you think
that
Lou
drops
would do
the
that
offer
to the league?
How often has Lou been horny to just throw $12 million at anybody?
I know. I trust me.
Like all of a sudden, Lou is now the horniest guy in the league to throw $12 million at. Come on in. We'll give you 12.
Yeah. Well, if
he won't give his own guys 12, then who the hell is he giving 12 to?
You never know though if the owner's not stepping in.
Yeah.
Like, by all accounts, that's what happened with Kovalchuk. Everyone talks about big, bad autonomy Lou. Someone said, sign it, Lou, and he did, because he had to. But
he works for
somebody. Good point, Brian.
It's a good point, Brian.
I just, you know, with Lou, like, we had Bettman on Friday, and we asked him, why aren't more offer sheets happening? And he said he believes the system has made it very difficult to do it. But then he went on and gave his own opinion, and he said something along the lines of, if I were running a team, I wouldn't do it. I don't think it's smart business. Why would you do that? And I read that as, okay, that's his message to the other teams in the league. Don't do it.
Yeah, but he's what he's saying is, if you do it to me, then when I'm in a position to do it to you, I'm going to do it. So you establish a precedent that you may not like when it's getting jammed down your throat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, is it good business not to have NHL players in the Olympics? I mean, the players seem to think it's great business to have, you know, players playing in the Olympics. So
I'm not saying Gary's got all the answers, but yeah. I do think he's got the ears of the owners.
Well, I would look at...
So it may not be the GMs. Yeah. It could be the owners who go, no, we're not doing that. Because that, you know, I don't want to get screwed in 2 or 3 years or whatever it is. I don't
know. One thing that is consistent with a lot of these teams that have RFAs that are very coveted, a lot of them are pressed up against the cap. So, like you said, yeah. Comes back to if there's ever going to be an offer sheet with this type of crop and with how tight the cap is, if there is a team that's waiting in the wings, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it this year. Because if you don't do it this year, I don't know if you'll
forget it.
Exactly.
No, you won't.
And it's not just, I'm not bringing it to Toronto. I'm bringing it to Tampa. I'm bringing it to Winnipeg, Calgary. All these teams are pressed up.
Yeah, the system needs to correct itself, though. And then the only way it corrects itself is if it's corrected via CBA. They've got to do something with that second contract. And I don't know what that is.
Right.
Extend it from 3 years to five. Find a way to cap what a restricted free agent can make in a second. I don't know, but it's flushing the system. I mean, you guys as former players, imagine sitting in that room, you know, hoping that you're going to get paid as a 30-year-old dude who is a third-line player, maybe a second-line player, should be making $4 or $5 million a year, and squeezed. The 20, 21-year-old just sucked 10.5, 11, 11.5 out of the system, and now, sorry.
Well,
you know, we'll give you $1.5 million less than what you can take, but
there's so many. There were so many pressure points. I was part of, you know, the players. You were part of the player sort, but I was a player rep. And when Lindros came in and was making $3 million a year, and Gretzky goes, "Hold on a second here, that's what I'm making. So I've got to make more than that." And then Mario goes, "Oh well, I'm better than him." And Brett Hull, like, there is a sliding scale, and you know, these RFAs now. It's just messing with the older players. So it's just shifted. That's all it is.
Right. Yeah. And on top of that, this is the year they decide, we don't want to pay that much escrow.
81.5. So good luck with that.
Imagine you're a 30-year-old who's been paying escrow so other guys can get paid. And you're like, all right, I'll pay it off, though, when I'm up. Clearly it'll go up to 84 so I can find that extra 500 grand.
Right.
No, we're going to cap it, and all the money's going to the 22-year-old.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem with the union. The league doesn't care because there's a finite number, and you guys figure it out.
Yeah, it's hard cap.
We're paying you 50% of the money that's coming in.
Yeah, the GMs care because there's enough revenue in the system that it could be a cap of around $85 million with that full
escalator. And I don't understand why the league wouldn't want that. Like, we're talking about the biggest markets, the markets that truly keep your league alive.
Yeah.
Toronto, New York, Philly, Boston, Chicago, L.A. They want to spend money. But no, we got to worry about Arizona and the floor.
Yeah, see, I like the idea of in the next CBA having like a slush fund where each team gets $5 million and you can just wipe it off annually and use it as a tradable commodity. So Carolina isn't going to use their $5 million. The Toronto Maple Leafs give them a first-round pick. Now they've got $10 million they can flush.
Mid-level exception. They do that in the NBA.
But it'll be haves versus have-nots.
Yeah. Yeah. Gary won't allow it.
He won't allow
it. Batman will not allow it.
Mid-level exceptions, and what is the other term new to the show today?
A hybrid
bridge.
Yes.
Hashtag.
Own rental.
I love it.
Hybrid bridge.
All right, Dregs.
Okay, guys, have a good night.
Here's Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider.